I need to, I don't know if I need to, I want to recognize those who prepared the Easter lilies for us. Thank you to all the hands that were involved in that. If you ordered one, take it home today. Beautify your home with it. They really are nice, aren't they? Amen? They're beautiful. They put up a nice aroma and fragrance into the air as well. Can we take me down just a tad? I feel like there's a little reverb there. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 28. Chapter 27, I apologize. This is not on the screen. I'm just going to read it, and hopefully you can follow along in your scripture, whatever translation you're reading out of. This is a difficult week for me emotionally every year because you've got the anguish of Good Friday, which is good for us because Jesus died, right? Followed by the silence of Saturday, and then finally the unadulterated joy of Sunday. And it's just amazing how those three emotions are just crammed in together in 3 days. And so I want to read a little selection, beginning in Matthew 27 and verse 45. Now, from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani. That is, my God, why have you forsaken me? And some of the bystanders hearing it said, this man's calling for Elijah. And one of them at once ran and took a sponge, filled it with sour wine, and put it on a reed and gave it to him to drink. But the other said, wait, let's see whether Elijah will come to save him. Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. Down to verse 57. When it was evening, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who also was a disciple of Jesus. He went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate ordered it to be given to him, and Joseph took the body and wrapped it in a clean linen shroud and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had cut in the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the entrance of the tomb and went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were there, sitting opposite the tomb. Chapter 28, verse 1. Now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And we'll stop there. The book of John records that one of the last things Jesus said before he died was, it is finished. Isn't it interesting to note that he did not say, I am finished. When you die without Christ, it's I am finished. When I die outside of Christ, I am finished. But Christ knew it wasn't finished. Not for him. So what did he mean when he said it is finished? Not I am finished, it. He meant the work of the cross. The work of our salvation. And that makes Jesus the great unifier. I hope that you have good imagination. You've all seen a picture or a movie. You've seen the Jesus movie. You've seen the Passion of the Christ. You've seen some other film or picture. And it shows the three crosses on the hill of Golgotha suspended between heaven and earth. You've seen that, haven't you? Three crosses. All three suspended between heaven and earth. And Jesus, right in the center. I want to just sort of preach thematically today on how Jesus is a unifier. He brings unity where there once was dissension and division and strife. You ever noticed that Jesus bridges B.C. to A.D.? It's not politically correct to say B.C. and A.D. anymore. What is it now? Who knows? It's B.C. and B.C.E. Before the common era is what you're supposed to say. I'm not going to be politically correct. Before Christ and Anno Domini, in the year of our Lord. Jesus is the bridge that connects B.C. to A.D. Did you know that this year in the Hebrew calendar is the year 5779? Now, I got to be honest, I don't know if the Hebrew calendar is exactly right or not. It probably isn't exactly right. Let's say it's off by 500 or so years. That would put us in the year 6200. But at any rate, let's assume the earth, the history, goes back about 7,000 years or 6,000 years. Have you ever wondered why divide history at Jesus' life? Is Jesus the only important figure that ever lived? I mean, for Pete's sake, 700 years before Jesus, Romulus and Remus were born. Y'all know who they were? Founded the city of Rome and the Roman Empire in its wake. Alexander the Great, who conquered the entire known world, was born in 356 B.C., 356 years before Christ. Why don't we divide the calendar at Alexander the Great? Or how about Caesar Augustus? Why don't we divide the calendar at his birthday in 63 B.C.? Why Jesus? Why this poor carpenter from Nazareth? You know, throughout human history, men and women have been searching for meaning. And the study of history is one way that we assign meaning to ourselves, to civilizations, to cultures. And civilizations and cultures that are in the dust, we don't pay much attention to them anymore. We only pay attention to the here and now, which is why it's so significant that for Christians, and in fact the entire world, 2,000 years later, whether you call it B.C., A.D., or B.C.E., it's still the year 2019, is it not? 2019, since what? Since before the Common Era? You could say that. Or you could be honest with history, which is since Jesus was born. And there is no other person in history. There is no other philosopher. There is no other king. There is no other conqueror that divides and unites history the way Jesus does. He is the bridge between B.C. and A.D. And the only reason that's true is because Easter's true. Isn't that true? How many men have died claiming to be God? Hundreds. Thousands. And yet, we are here on Resurrection Sunday, what is called Easter, because this man predicted he would rise from the dead, and then he went and did it. Amen. History is unified in him. Jesus bridges B.C. to A.D. And that's a subtle reminder every time you look at a calendar or celebrate a birthday. There's also something else that Jesus does as the great unifier. He unites men to men. He unites men to men. Go to the next slide for me. Jesus takes very different people, does he not, and gives us a common purpose. If you have any doubt about that, just look around. There's a lot of different personalities in here. A lot of different strengths and weaknesses. Different shades of skin tone. I'm a little redder today than normal because I've been out in the yard passing out those flyers all over Tacoma with Salem. And I do not tan. I burn. But there's a lot of different people here. We like different things. We have different families, different personalities. But we're all here because we have a common bond, and that common bond is Jesus. I want you to think this morning. Maybe you haven't heard the news, maybe you have, but while you were sleeping, bombs went off in Sri Lanka. Did y'all know that? Bombs went off in Sri Lanka. And we don't, you know, it's probably radical terrorists. I think they've already made claim to it, but I didn't actually read the news. I just saw the headline. Last count, over 200 Christians in Sri Lanka dead and hundreds wounded. Why? For doing exactly what we're doing here. No more, no less. For the having the audacity to worship Jesus Christ, they are now dead. Now, while we should mourn their loss, we should also be grateful that their spirits immediately went to be with God. Amen? And those, I imagine if a Sri Lankan believer came in here, there's only one thing we'd have in common with him. We wouldn't like the same food. We wouldn't look the same. We wouldn't share the same culture. But we would share the most important thing. Do you know what it is? Faith in the Son of God. We would be united to that person by Christ. This was true in the early church, where it says in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6, Paul said, "There is one body and one spirit, just as you are called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all, who is over all and through all in all." That is the teaching that we abide to. There may be Presbyterians and Baptists and Lutherans. That may be true, but we have one Lord, right? One faith, right? One, we are baptized into one Spirit, right? And you think about all the different people around America celebrating the resurrection this morning. How different we all are, and yet how united we are in this one person, the person of Jesus Christ. Paul tells us to do that, and it was true of the early church, where it says all these disciples with one accord were devoting themselves to prayer. They were of one accord and of one mind. Paul tells us again in Philippians 2, "Complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind." Today, we can have one mind. We don't have to be fractured, do we? We don't have to bicker and fight. We can be of the same mind if we will pursue Jesus together. And do you know the only reason this is possible? Because Jesus is not in the tomb anymore. There's a reason that Christians can, there's a reason that we can kill our sinful desires. And it's not because we're stronger than everybody else. It's not because we have the ability in the West, in the Christian culture, to lift ourselves up by our bootstraps. No, it's because Jesus Christ literally rose from the dead, and He sent His Spirit to live inside of you at the moment you trusted Christ. Have you ever thought about that? That every Sunday when we gather, we bring God with us. Yes, it's true. God is omnipresent. He is all places at all times. But when you and I worship together, we bring God with us. Jesus unites men to men. And this is true only because of the resurrection. You know, the night Jesus was betrayed, the Bible says that the disciples were scattered like sheep without a shepherd. Isn't that true? They had no head. They had no leader. They had no purpose. They were wandering. They were depressed. They were dejected. Their life no longer had any purpose or meaning, because the one that gave them that purpose and meaning was dead. But when He rose from the dead, He showed Himself to them. And His resurrection united them to one another. It was not some civil discourse. It wasn't politics that united them. I'm afraid I have bad news for you. If you're looking for politics to unite this country, you're looking in the wrong place. You probably know that already, though, right? That will never happen. We're not even going to like all the same football teams. We're not going to all like the same foods, but there is one thing that unites us all, and that is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. When we're following Him, we can't help but get closer to one another. And we see that their devotion to Him, they were so convinced by the resurrection that they followed Jesus to the tomb. They followed Him to the cross. They all died for their faith. And as we die to self, Jesus can unite us to one another. There's one other thing that Jesus unites. And that is, He unites sinners to God. Jesus reconciles sinners to God. I want to be very clear. In a group this size, it's possible, no probable, that some of you do not know Jesus as your Savior. And I want to say with tenderness, but also boldness, that if you do not know Christ as your Savior, if you're not saved, it's not because you don't attend church here, if you're a visitor. It's not, if you are saved, it's not because you attend church here. Amen? We, at birth, are alienated from God because of our sin. If you can see here, look over here at little Evangelina. Isn't she cute? That's my baby. One of my babies. One of my four girls. She's the youngest. She was born December 8th. And she's already a little sinner. As hard to believe as that is. Why? Because we are born with sin. Sin is the root and the reason for your separation from God if you aren't saved. Paul says it this way, while we were enemies. Now this is a good verse. This verse should put a smile on your face. It says, if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by His life. This is a wonderful pronouncement of reconciliation, but there's an understanding, an implication that before you are reconciled to God, you are God's what? His enemy. By sinning, by choosing a lifestyle of sin, I don't know all of you here. There may be people here that you are actively choosing a lifestyle of sin. If that's you, God says you are His enemy. And you have declared war on Him. But the good news is, Jesus reconciles us to Him. How? By His death. By His death, we are brought together with God. We who were far from God are brought to Him. Just as Jesus divides history, and Jesus divided the two men in the cross, and He unites men, Jesus also stood between heaven and earth that day on a cross, suspended in the air. And it is only Christ that can reconcile us, that can unite us to God. Without Christ, there is no reconciliation. Did you know that? There are not other religions that you can pursue. You cannot be good enough on your own to be saved. Jesus said it this way, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Perhaps you were here this morning and you were dabbling with the idea of trying to figure out exactly what Hinduism is. You know, Eastern mysticism is popular in the West again. Maybe you're thinking, I don't know about the church. I know too many hypocrites. I'm gonna see if Hinduism has a truth for me. I know too many hypocrites in the church, people that talk good game, but they don't live like Jesus. By the way, Christians, don't be that guy. Don't be that guy. Don't give people reason to turn their back on the faith. But maybe you say, I know too many hypocrites. They don't practice what they preach. I'm going to dabble in Buddhism. Or I'm going to try humanism. The definite article is there, friends. Jesus says, I am not a way. I am not a truth. He says, I am the way. I am the truth. And because that is true, He says, I am the life. And what that means is there is no life outside of Christ. None. These other religions will lead to death. In Christ, there is true love, compassion, forgiveness, unity. Christians, did you know that we can forgive each other? We can. We don't have to hold on to hurts. We can let it go. Jesus forgave us, did he not? Unsaved person, you can pursue real relationship with God, but only in Christ. It makes me wonder, as we come to a close, before we have an invitation hymn and go to Olivia's baptism, does your life lack meaning? Jesus is what unifies history, what gives history itself meaning. And sometimes we look at our own life and we just say, what am I doing here? What is my purpose in all of this? Why am I here? Where am I going? Maybe that's how you feel. Like you're just adrift, like a log on a river. Did you know that Jesus gives meaning? Is your life full of turmoil? And it's no matter where you turn, somebody's arguing, somebody's bickering, somebody's failing, somebody's letting you down. Or maybe you're the one letting people down. Maybe you're the one causing the fight. Maybe you're the one causing the bickering. Guys, life doesn't have to be full of turmoil. There can be unity between men and women. Between women and women, between men and men, between father and son, between mother and daughter. In Christ, the great unifier. Are you far from God this morning? Now I want you to be brutally honest with yourself. Be brutally honest with yourself. Are you close to God or are you far from Him? I'm not asking, are you saved? I think you ought to answer that question too. If you're not saved, you are very far from God. But even saved people can drift, can they not? And Jesus, as it were, I know that He was taken down from the cross and He was laid in a tomb and He rose from the dead. But Jesus, picture Him as it were, still suspended between God and man. Ready to offer you forgiveness. Ready to say, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Ready to forgive you of your very real sins. Against God and against others. Jesus is the great unifier. Your meaning, your purpose, your peace are all found in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I love Easter time. I love lilies. I even like eggs. Yesterday I took Salem and Malachi to Walmart and we were surprised and sort of accosted by this huge bunny rabbit. He was as tall as me. And kind of freaky looking. And they said, oh, can we go see him? And I took a picture with him and all that. It's all fun in games, right? But let's not get our eyes off the ball, Christians. That's not what Easter is about. Easter is about a very real event that happened 2,000 years ago where a dead man came to life. Amen. And because of that, you one day will die, but you won't stay in the ground. You will rise again. That is true. That's not a preacher rambling up here. It's as true as the sun rising in the east and setting in the west. If your life lacks meaning, purpose, peace with others or with God, then maybe you need to trust in the resurrection this morning. There's one way to do it. The book of Romans chapter 5 says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. That's what the gospel is. That means you have to say it. Jesus is Lord. He's not just my Savior. He's my Lord. I'm going to follow Him wherever He goes. I'm not believing this for fire insurance just so I will go to heaven when I die. He will be my Lord. He will be my commander. I will do what He tells me to do. I will read the Bible. I will pray. I will go to church. Whether there's hypocrites there or not. And by the way, if you come to church, there's a hypocrite here. Because we're all hypocrites from time to time. Amen. God doesn't love us because we're perfect. He loves us in spite of our hypocrisies. If you will believe, if you will say Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart, don't pay lip service. You can't fake God out. NBA Finals are on. Steph Curry, man, he's got a mean crossover. He can fake, Kyrie Irving can fake people out of their shoes, but you can't fake out God. You have to really believe it in your heart that God raised him from the dead. And if you say that and if you believe that, Jesus will save you. Amen. And you will no longer be dead in your sins. Maybe that's you today. Let's pray and ask the Lord to sanctify this time. If you need to come forward and do business with God, now is the time. Father in heaven, it is with great earnestness that we pray for lost souls, for souls that need to be saved. Father, we yearn to be made right with our fellow man. We yearn to be made right with you, to be forgiven of our sins. And there are some here who have not had that. Father, please unite, please reconcile people to yourself today. Unite people to one another. Give people meaning and purpose in life where they had none before. As Brian sings this, if you would like to come down and pray, please do so.